You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and welcome to In the Limelight, Vanity Fair's entertainment and pop culture podcast. I'm Josh Duboff, Vanity Fair senior writer, and I'm here with Julie Miller, Vanity Fair's senior Hollywood writer.
On In the Limelight, we analyze the ins and outs of pop culture, entertainment, and celebrity from the past week, from the Kardashians to Kate Middleton and everything in between. This week was a very special episode because Josh flew out to Los Angeles to come visit me. We went to a few parties. We discussed Beyonce and Jay-Z's rumored baby names. And now we're kind of recording this once Josh has flown back across the country to New York. And this is our recap.
A few days after I got to LA, Julie and I attended a party at Leonardo DiCaprio's former Malibu property. It was quite an event, and we recorded the day after the party with our thoughts and observations, and there were a lot of them. So we're going to cut to that audio now so you guys can hear what we had to say about that event.
So first, we need to talk about this event we went to on Saturday, which was kind of stupendous. One of the better celebrity run-ins Julie and I have ever had, which is saying a lot considering the run-ins we've had.
And what made it the best was that we walked into this event like really not expecting anything.
So to set the scene, this is the Saturday before the 4th of July. We went to Malibu for this event and we didn't know very much about it, but other than that, it was in a house in Malibu.
It was in a house in Malibu on the ocean, we knew, a barbecue pop-up thrown by one of our dearest friends in PR, Diane.
We love Diane.
And she's never, like, led us astray. So we knew that it was going to be at least a decent event. So
when Diane tells you to go, you know that you're in for something good.
So we walk in, don't know what to expect, and it is literally, like, what would you say?
So I think at first, Julie and I were both hesitant. So it was probably like 5 p.m., we're in Malibu, we're at this house. It seems very much like an Entourage episode.
We took an Uber, it took an hour to get there.
The scene was a little bit unfriendly. It was like there was a lot happening. It was very like influencer culture.
It was like a Hills party where the only, like, everybody invited is some sort of social influencer. They're all 22 or younger.
Right.
Wearing like denim booty shorts with like a denim jean jacket. Everybody looks super cool.
Everyone's super fit. Everyone's like super well. Like,
not that we're not fit.
yeah. We're acting as if we're these like ostracized like ghosts on the side, which was like a little bit of what it was, but not really. But yeah, all the girls look variants on Emily Ratajkowski, I was saying. Like,
yes.
Everyone looked like they were like had looked at Emily Ratajkowski's Instagram and then like modeled their outfits off of her. The guys all had this kind of like douchey, but like, I don't know.
The first celebrity we saw was Patrick Schwarzenegger with like a Hawaiian shirt unbuttoned except for one lone button around the navel.
And he had his friends hanging around him. His girlfriend was there. Everything seemed a little bit like hazy for them. I felt like they were like
definitely hazy. This was like the fourth stop on their party circuit that day.
Yes. within half an hour, we couldn't find them, and I think they had left. They were trying to figure out getting their, like, how to get their friends into the party.
Right. There was a DJ spinning records on top of an American flag, which is definitely not what the forefathers had in mind.
The whole scene was a little bit odd, because you got, like, when you walked in, there was sort of this chill, but the barbecue station was set up. There was a hair braiding scenario.
A lot of, like, chill bohemian girls sitting on a, like, blanket, mm-hmm. like, in some
but
sort of
But then when
circle.
You went back, it was full on, like, a beats, like, everyone dancing to the beats, grinding up on one another, where the bar was, etc.
And it was this amazing Malibu house that I looked it up. It rents for $200,000 a month. It's right on the ocean.
So, but then everything changed for us when the monkey came into the picture.
I know, and you say, like, the monkey, like, everybody knows who the monkey is.
So Julie and I walk, we kind of check out the kind of crazy dance party DJ scene. We come back down to sort of this hippie area we're describing, where there's the braiding station, the circle of everyone on the blanket, and then we look up and we see that this guy who looks a lot like Robert Pattinson, we don't really know much more,
like,
about him.
Eerily,
than
like, eerily. I feel like he looks more like Robert Pattinson than Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, like, it was strange. Like, the exact same skin tone, the sort of exact same facial structure.
But he's wearing a starter jacket that says, please send nudes. So that was, like, our first warning sign, our first red flag. But then he has the spider monkey on his shoulder. And if you are familiar with the spider monkey, it does not look like a full monkey. It's like this tiny furry creature. But so he rolls into this party like he's the coolest guy on the planet.
And there was like a swarm of people around him, including Julie and me. Yeah, we're not going to try to say we weren't part of this. And we're seeing everyone kind of take photos with this monkey. And, like, these kind of beautiful girls were taking the monkey and, like, giving him a kiss.
But
and,
Robert Pattinson is being very selective with who he allows to take the monkey and take photos. Like, I am invisible. Like, it's like, I'm
Julia
not...
Julia did not exist in, like, this, in Robert Pattinson's, like, worldview. Like, that was just, like, we're not people he cares about seeing the monkey. And then we're waiting in line for the bathroom, which was this insane long line to get into the bathroom.
And I see this girl who looks exactly like, I guess it's kind of creepy to say, if you, like, recognize a celebrity's daughter.
No, Ava's known. She looked like Ava Filippier. I butchered that.
That was such an exotic pronunciation. But she looked like
Ryan and Reese's daughter, Ava.
So I was looking at them, and she was, like, standing in this very tight circle. Everybody was vaping with their own vape pens, and then I realized that one of the people in the circle was actually Ryan Phillippe himself.
And that's when we were kind of like, whoa, because he was talking to this girl who looked eerily like his daughter, and also he was talking to this girl who looked a lot like Bella Hadid.
And she was all over him.
She was all over him.
She was like,
yeah.
Caressing him, a lot of PDAs. It made us very uncomfortable. The girl who looked like Ava was not Ava, by the way.
Yeah, just to make that clear, it was not actually Ava, but she looked eerily like Ava, and the girl who looked eerily like Bella, I guess, is in some, we're not going to pretend to know the nature of her relationship with Ryan,
but
they were
very intimate.
They're very intimate.
And Josh and I, at this point, had been thinking we were way too old to be at this party. So the fact that Ryan Phillippe was here, and
yeah,
the fact he had a hat slung low, but the demographic was so young, I don't think anyone would have recognized him aside from us.
He was very under the radar, actually. It was sort of weird. But I guess Ryan Phillippe isn't... He's sort of in this weird mid-level where, like, I don't know if he even gets recognized... Do you think he gets recognized on the streets of L.A.? Like, I don't know.
I don't think he does. But so we get to the front of this bathroom line. I know you guys were, like, very interested,
yeah,
fascinated.
What happened at the
edge
bathroom
of the seats.
Line.
Yeah. And they said Josh could not go in. This was a female's only bathroom. Mm-hmm. So he's redirected to a different bathroom line. I only bring this up
this
because it leads
for the story,
to,
yeah.
Very important to the story. So Josh is in a different line. I meet up with him 10 minutes later, and we're standing behind these girls.
And these girls, I'm like, they're all stressed out. They're like, these guys keep coming to check in with them. There's lots of kind of logistical drama about where they're going to go later in the night. And then at one point, I hear one of the girls say to her friend, oh, you know we're in Leo's house, or something like that. And then I'm like, what? And so I turned to Julie, I guess, when Julie comes back, and I said, something's up. So we're in Leo's house. So Julie does some great stealth.
Do the recon.
Very fast, Quicksilver Googling. And we determined that Leo used to live in the house that we've been in all this time, and we had no idea, but sold it in 2013.
Yes, and the story gets so much better, I promise. By this point in the party, by the way, they have run out of cups, full-size cups, so they are only handing out shots. Everybody's vaping. We watch this guy stumble up to a girl and say, "Can I touch your earrings?"
So that's where we are. We've seen Ryan Phillippe. We've seen Patrick Schwarzenegger.
We've
seen the monkey. We have not touched the monkey. Don't be alarmed.
My mom is very, like, does not want us to touch the critter.
Yeah, we did not touch the monkey. We figured out it's Leo's house. So that's where we are in the party. And it's about this point.
That we walk back towards, like, the patio, like, overlooking the ocean. And I hear Josh say to me, "You know who that is."
And Julie whips around.
I whip around, like, very coolly, of course. And I see this guy hunched, talking to what appears to be, like, the security people. Hat, like, baseball cap slung low.
And it's Leo DiCaprio, who obviously Julie and I are very familiar with seeing in person. So you can rest assured we know it's him.
Right, and he's obviously like, "Hey, Julie, hey, Josh,
yeah,
what's up?
I've been to Sushi Park recently." But we look behind Leo immediately, and we see Orlando Bloom. And he's at this party wearing kind of a black long-sleeved shirt with, like, some sort of graphic on the front.
Orlando has never looked better.
Yeah.
Amazing tan, like, that contrasts perfectly with his white t-shirt. He's, like, cool sneakers on. Within 30 seconds of Orlando walking into the party, he clocks the hottest girl, aside from myself.
Yeah, Julie, like, excluded. He finds his girl, and, like, he just latches on.
She looks like a foster sister, but even more gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Is, like, talking to her. At first, Josh and I thought, like, oh, he must have known her, but he eventually walks away. And she and all of her girlfriends, like, go crazy, because they cannot believe that Orlando Bloom was just talking to them.
Yeah, like, my favorite part, definitely, of the whole thing was that, like, when he walked, like, I guess he was asking them all for their drink orders, like, he's gonna get them all drinks.
What a move, by the way. Like, yeah. As if just presenting yourself as Orlando Bloom is not enough.
Because he asked the main girl, the model he was, like, interested in, and then you could see he was, like, about to walk away, and then he kind of, like, turned around at a double take thing, and he sees, like, her three friends, and he goes, "What do you guys want, too?" And I feel like that won him a lot of points. And then...
It did with me.
And then he gets the orders for the other three. Then he goes in.
So he follows Leo in. Leo, yeah. Wherever his mental space is. And then we also see Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Which is not the person we were expecting to see. But if everybody else is, like, very casually dressed, Elon is in a full suit.
Elon was in a whole different, like, headspace, I felt. But in the Orlando Leo crew, I think. I mean, like, he came in the same time they did. Tobey Maguire, nowhere to be found.
But they all go into the house. No one else is allowed into the house, even the girl that Orlando is flirting with. So he comes back out with all the drinks to deliver to his, like, girl of choice and her circle of friends.
And he brings those drinks out.
And it was very winning. It was a very winning moment.
It was winning. A thing we never got a good answer on, though, was why the girls weren't allowed in the house.
Right.
Because what ended up happening is that Leo, Orlando, and Elon being in the house, I feel like, set up this dynamic of, like, everyone wanted to be in the house. And most people obviously weren't allowed, but maybe, like, 10 or 15 other people were also allowed, but not Orlando's girls.
It was very mysterious.
Yeah.
10 minutes later, these two pizza delivery guys roll up.
Right.
And they have 10 pizzas each in one of those, like, what do you call those, like, bags? Like, the warming pizza
those
bags?
Those pizza bags.
So yeah. They bring them up to the door. Not that we were watching.
Yeah. Not that we were, like, leeched on at this point to the house. Like, basically, like on Elon Musk's collar.
And the security guy looks inside each box. I don't know whether he was looking for, like, a bomb or just to make sure the toppings were right, but he lets in all the boxes.
We don't know what was happening in the house.
Something happened. At this point, we also watched this poor guy walk in and just like face plant like a tree falling over slowly into the asphalt. Security like helped him up and just like pushed him on his way, and he was cool.
But also, it was interesting, I thought, I don't know if you're the same feeling, but most people didn't seem, I think people were very much in the throes of their partying spirits.
Like, this is dark, though. My observation was that people were so young, they didn't, like, recognize Leo or Orlando. That was my take. A half hour later, he leaves with his security group. Mm-hmm. Orlando walks behind him, but like
the girl nowhere to be found.
I know, but Orlando has this very confident like posture. He's walking out. He's like waving to all the girls. Elon, like, I feel like they did not tell Elon
that they were leaving.
Like, yeah. Elon might still be at that house, like, wondering, like, hey, are they coming back? Okay, so Leo and Orlando leave.
Elon nowhere to be found.
Cut to 10 seconds later, the pizza delivery guys follow them out with the pizzas they had not eaten yet in the pizza warmer cases.
And, like, enough pizza, like, 10 slices for each celebrity. Like, it was so much pizza for them.
And there were hundreds of, like, partygoers there who did not even have cups.
And I remember, it's so true. I remember saying to Julie, like, oh my gosh, that's so sweet of Leo. He's ordering all these pizzas for everyone at this party. As if that would ever happen. Like, I don't know why I thought that was even in the realm of possibility. But obviously, no, the pizzas were just there for them.
We happened to also be in the patio when they were leaving, and Orlando just left, and like the security guy was like, oh, you're taking all the pizzas with you, and Orlando like made a lot of conversation with the security guy and said, yeah, isn't that so funny, we ordered all these pizzas, now we're taking them with us.
And then I heard one of the drivers ask Leo if Orlando's good to be in the car, and then Leo was like, yeah, Orlando's with us.
But so, also, how harsh would that have been if Leo was like, no, he's not? And then that like, security detail had to tell Orlando,
like, actually get your own Uber, dude. I mean, it was I didn't realize until this party that Leo and Orlando were, like, kind of a duo.
Had they been out together before?
Yeah, they've been out, like, a few things recently. But I didn't realize it was that they were a dynamic pair.
Yeah.
Because they were definitely, like, rolling together. And Leo's definitely the ringleader.
I mean, why shouldn't he be?
No, why shouldn't he be?
But so, anyway, that was our party before the 4th of July.
I know, and to have this all happen on the Saturday before the 4th, we weren't even expecting it to be such a wild and raucous, star-studded night, and then it turned into one of the most, I thought, unexpectedly, you know.
I mean, we were pretty tapped out. We were pretty excited at, like, the monkey and then Ryan Phillippe.
I know. When we thought we had just seen, like, Patrick Schwarzenegger and Ryan Phillippe, we were there. And then to get the Elon, Orlando, Leo trio.
I know. And just, like, Elon, if you're listening, you can leave that house. I think they've moved to a different location.
I'm curious about Elon's role in the squad. Like, I don't feel like I have a good read on that.
No one does. We
didn't really see Elon talking to them.
He was legitimately the only person in a suit.
Yeah. And he was talking to this guy who looked kind of like young Ron Howard, is how I described
him. It's like everybody at that party had been to Coachella multiple times.
Burning Man. Yeah, they like, it was a very specific crew. They did not seem to care that Leo and Orlando were there.
Oh my gosh, a lot of like women with just like bikini tops and like jeans, short shorts.
Yeah.
And like thigh-high boots.
And Orlando's girl squad, I think our biggest, I don't know, maybe I should just speak for myself here, but my biggest regret from the party is that we didn't get any sort of follow-up interview with the girl that Orlando sought out and brought drinks back for. But I don't know what happened to her. She didn't leave with him.
Oh my gosh, save this for the documentary. Josh's regrets.
I'm really upset because I was watching her and just wondering what it was like to be her. Because I wanted to know her whole backstory.
By the way, she was wearing, like, a sweatshirt. A gray sweatshirt.
I know, the upshot, the lesson here is, like, it doesn't even matter what you're wearing or doing. Like, if Orlando Bloom's going to talk to you, he's going to talk to you.
Yeah, no heels. Yeah.
No, she was not dressed as if she was, you know, as if she had thought she was going to meet Orlando Bloom that night. Let's put it that way.
So, yeah, the takeaway is, if Orlando's going to talk to you, he doesn't care whether or not you're wearing heels.
Yeah, if you're listening to this and, like, preparing to go out and see Orlando. We also had, so then I guess we're going to about to go to the 4th of July party also in Malibu, where we might have, we're curious to see if we'll get a repeat Leo sighting.
We're hoping for one Kardashian.
We're hoping for one Kardashian.
It's an all-white party.
It's an all-white party.
So Josh and I have, like, meticulously planned our outfits.
Yeah, which we will definitely, definitely be posting. We had a good sighting at lunch before, and we should have known and taken this as an omen that we didn't, which is that we saw Sofia Vergara and Joe Manganiello.
Perfect.
Definitely not. Yes, that was a flawless pronunciation of his last name at lunch right before. So I guess we know that if on the 4th of July we get a good sighting at lunch, that bodes well for the rest of the day.
Can't wait to report back.
Yeah, though. We will report back on how the 4th of July party goes. But I don't know. It's going to be really hard to surpass Saturday.
Leo and Orlando. I hope it does.
I know. The Leo Orlando, the pizzas.
The monkey.
There was a lot of great characters at this party. Like a short story should just be written about just this party alone.
So that was the tale of Leonardo DiCaprio, Elon Musk, Orlando Bloom, Ryan Phillippe. I feel like we still haven't quite, even now that I'm back in New York, Julie, like, processed that whole event.
I know. I feel like I need a few, like, therapy sessions to really, like, work out what that meant. Just between the monkey and Leo and then Orlando and then Elon Musk, who still might be, like, sitting in that house waiting for Leo and Orlando to get back.
Waiting for, like, trying to look for the pizza that they took somewhere.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So after we recorded on 4th of July, and the uniting thread here is that the monkey was present at this second event as well. We attended a party at Nobu Malibu, which was thrown by the Bootsy Bellows crew.
It was their fifth annual 4th of July white party hosted at Nobu Malibu, which is right on the ocean. Another oceanside party for myself and Josh.
Yeah, we made another trip to Malibu. This one was a different sort of event, right, Julie? I guess you would say it was fancier. It was, you know, everyone's wearing white. It was at Nobu. But it was maybe lacking some of the spontaneous, anyone could show up vibe of the one on Saturday.
We walk into this event and there are girls and full body cat suits kind of cavorting by the front door, I would say.
And as usual, I was like kind of wanting to do a full interview profile with the girl dancing in the cat outfit as much as any of the celebrities, because I was just thinking to myself, what would it possibly be like to have to be like an adult dressed in a full-on cat outfit, like dancing by yourself as people walk into a party?
Right. Can you imagine, like, hey, Renee, how did you spend the 4th of July? And you say, oh, I spent it cavorting in this cat outfit. But she seemed to be having a wonderful time.
Yeah, she seemed to be having a great time. And we took a photo with her, right?
Later we did on. Take a photo with her.
Yeah. So we got to know her later somewhat. Yeah, so everyone has to wear all white, which was somewhat of a challenge. We both made the best of it. I felt okay about my outfit, except for my shoes, which were flip-flops, which, like, wasn't great. And I sort of wish I had splurged for some white sneakers. But it's okay.
I thought you looked great. It was very Miami chic. We'll post a photo that we took there.
And Julie had a great dress. We both were wearing jean jackets because Pacific Sunwear is one of the sponsors of this event. So they were handing out jean jackets. So it didn't really fit. They should have been white. No.
Oh my gosh, you're taking issue with the free jean jacket bar. No, I mean, yes, the white would have made sense, but I thought it was actually like a very, it worked well because everybody's wearing white. So when they put on these jean jackets, the jacket,
it really stands out. Yes, that's true. And it did become something of a thing. So I feel like they must have run out and people were coming up to me asking where I got my jean jacket. So I think people were kind of trying to get their hands on them. It did create this kind of feeding frenzy.
But as the night wore on and people got a little more loose, all of a sudden, like, the jean jackets were just strewn around. It was just a sea of jean jackets.
I know. I'm imagining the next morning when they were cleaning up Nobu, they were, like, finding these jean jackets just all over the place.
But Josh, I feel like the first quote-unquote celebrity we saw was this monkey that we ran into at the 4th of July party.
Yes.
Who was so brought
the same,
in.
The same monkey was back.
The same way he was back, and he, one of the handlers, there are several handlers, one of the handlers looks exactly like Robert Pattinson, and I would have thought, like, that would be enough for you entering a party in Malibu, like, if you look like Robert Pattinson, but apparently it's not enough, because he brought this monkey. And just, they act so chill about it. It's just, like, on, jumping around on people's shoulders.
I think because of the scene, don't you feel like, well, they got rid of the monkey pretty fast. Like, I almost wonder if someone directed the monkey out of the premises. Then I think we didn't really have, I feel like the first celebrities we saw, I saw Cameron Dallas, the YouTube star, who was dancing all around and, like, seemed in his own mindset. He had, like, an entourage with him. We didn't see Sophia Richie, but she was there. So they kind of had the, like, young Hollywood, whatever you want to call them, social influencer types there. Who else did we see? We saw...
Well, Lana Del Rey, and you took a cute photo with her.
Yes, Lana was wearing a baseball cap, and she was in sort of one of the banquettes off to herself. I, like, talked to her very briefly. She said she was having a great time. She said something about positive energy, which, like, seemed about right. I just remember her being like, it's all positive energy here. And I was like, yeah, it is. I think of Meghan Markle, actually. No bad energy. She wasn't who I expected at that sort of event. It was kind of like a clubbing vibe when it really got going. But she was really in her element.
Right. A lot of, like, banquets with full bottle service was the vibe. I don't usually hang at these bottle service events. But it was quite the scene. And then who else did we see? We saw...
I saw Odell Beckham Jr. Oh, Drake's dad was a fun one. He was wearing this kind of, like... So we spotted Drake's dad outside, and he was... It's, how do you even explain? It was sort of like a robe, like a white sheet, though. Like, it was like a dress. Caftan, right?
Caftan. And he had a white fedora on, huge sunglasses, and was the only man there wearing, I would say, a white, like, robe. But he was surrounded by women. I was desperately trying to, like, chat him up. And I'm not sure who identified him as Drake's dad at first. I did verify it on Google.
We tried to talk to him, didn't we? And he wasn't interested.
I said, I love your caftan. I love your outfit. What is it? And he just said, someone made it for me. Which I guess I'm going to say the next time anyone compliments me on my shoes or my pants, I'm just always going to say, someone made it for me.
Someone made it for me. That is chic. That's good. We saw Taylor Lautner, who was very nice. He is a sweet kid.
He could not have been
spoken like his
sweeter.
Grandmother or something.
Right. I was trying to find Josh, and all of a sudden Josh pulls me in and introduces me to Taylor. Yes, he seemed like he was in great spirits.
Yeah, Taylor was very nice.
What did you guys talk about?
Who knows? I think, we were talking about Lana Del Rey, I think, actually, because I think I had said something like, we were just talking to Lana, and Lana was nearby. And then he was like, let's try to, like, beat your picture with her. I don't know. It got kind of confusing.
But you guys took some really great, great photos.
Yes, we did take a good photo. He was really, I can't explain it. You saw when you talked to him. He just looked very normal and nice.
Right, he looked very sweet.
Nothing but and positive at this things point, to say about Taylor Lautner.
At this point in the party, it was very, very crowded.
Yes, we had some...
So it was kind of... It was a struggle to navigate to get anywhere. I'm surprised the fire marshal didn't shut it down. But at one point, this girl bumped into me pretty aggressively and then wanted to start a fight with me, but she was the one bumping.
Wait, this is actually my favorite part of my favorite part of the whole party was all of a sudden I became aware that Julie was like about to have like a fist fight with this girl. It was like Katy Perry and Taylor Swift have nothing on these two. And it was just because she thought Julie had bumped into her, but it was getting extremely heated. Nothing happened. There was no altercation. It was great.
But there was no room to move. I think my theory is someone bumped into her and kind of kept walking, and she turned around and thought that I was the one who bumped her. Meanwhile, I have a drink for Josh and me. I'm like just getting back from the bar with two beers, so I don't know how. I guess I could have elbowed her or something, but I was a deer in the headlights. No one has ever, stranger has ever been that aggressive towards me to the face.
But it really leaned into the idea that we were at like a hill party you'd see on like a reality show or Real Housewives of the Hills or something. Like there was like a pseudo conflict between you and this random girl. Oh, also, okay, so then we should say that we haven't seen any photographic evidence, so we probably shouldn't say this conclusively, but we're told Leo and Orlando were actually on their way to this party, too, which was exciting. And Julie and I, let us tell you, searched every crevice of the premises. We were not going to let you guys down. We did not see Leo when we left the party at probably around 9. But he was reportedly there somewhere, so maybe he was.
That sounds so sad that we left the party
at 9.
But this party started very early.
It started at 5 and it ended at 10, and it was winding down when we left. So anyways, the point is that Leo may have been there, he may not have been there. It's sort of a mystery, but we did not see him.
I just love the idea that all 4th of July holiday weekend, Leo and Orlando could have been like driving up and down the PCH in a black SUV just full of pizza, stopping it at random parties.
The side story here is definitely that like Leo and Orlando are best friends now. Like Tobey Maguire has been kicked to the curb. Probably not, but Orlando's in the squad, though I guess they were not together on the actual 4th of July, it sounds like. But no, it was such a fun party. We had a really good time. I was very intimidated to go to a white party. But then once I was there, I realized that people are very, you know, pretty much everyone stuck to the sartorial theme. Though shoes, I realized I could have worn black shoes. That was my other big takeaway. Apparently, like, footwear does not matter. And that's actually my only takeaway from the night. Because people were wearing all kinds of colors. No, I'm just kidding. There were a lot. It was. What were your takeaways? That there are two monkeys, that Lana Del Rey was her like club wear is like involves a baseball hat and kind of like a simple white dress.
My takeaways are, one, I really want to profile the guy with the monkeys.
Yes.
Looks like Robert Pattinson. I might try to get a hold of him for a feature piece. Two, I do not think that a party with a white dress code is necessarily my scene or natural habitat. I am not comfortable with strangers nearly starting fights with me. Any others?
Yeah, I want to come back to LA because I'm in withdrawal and I need to be back. I need to just follow that. I'm going to be one of the groupies of this celebrity influencer monkey. I'm just going to follow the monkey. We should have him on the podcast, honestly. That's probably our best bet.
Josh, we're going to get you some sort of rare exotic animal. And just, you'll be that guy on the party scene. You'll be invited to everything.
You would think on his own he'd get invited because of his, like, he could be like a Robert Pattinson impersonator. But that I love that this monkey is his in to all these kind of, like, swanky affairs. Anyways, let's. Is there anything we want to talk more about Beyonce's baby names, but I also feel like we still don't know for sure if it's the official names, and I just feel like I don't want to get too attached to my disappointment about these names until I know for sure that those are the names. We do want to hear your thoughts on the names.
Right, and I do love that Matthew Knowles, like Beyonce and Jay-Z, still have not issued any sort of official confirmation. The names could be Rumi and Sir, which are honestly growing on me the more I read them. But I'm very curious about middle names. But I love that Matthew Knowles, of course, they may not be speaking, but Matthew Knowles sure is. And he gave a new interview saying that he actually researched his, I guess, family history and found out that there is another set of twins in his family. So he wants to not only, like, take credit for announcing that the babies were born, he wants to take credit for putting those in the genetic, I guess, pathway. What am I trying to say, Josh?
I like that he's still just looking for any angle. Like, he posts that Instagram for the announcement. Now he's trying to give interviews about the meaning of their twins. Like, he's just, it's unabashed. But we will have more next week. Hopefully we'll get some more. I have a sense we're going to get some more information soon. So maybe by next week's episode, we'll have more to kind of say conclusively about this.
Right. I really hope that Beyonce unveils the twins in, like, a very elaborate photo shoot like she did her pregnancy. That does it for this week's In the Limelight. Thank you so much for listening. Please remember to rate and review us on iTunes. Also, feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at In the Limelight to further discuss any of these subjects. Offer your thoughts on Beyonce's rumored baby names. You can also follow us individually. I'm at Julie W. Miller. Josh is at J. Duboff. We also have an Instagram, which is In the Limelight Pod. The episode was produced by Jordan Bell and edited by Afim Shapiro. Thanks for joining us.